This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Donnie Sweeney said he had an opportunity to give you a call, and without giving away any of the details, what was the message that you wanted to get across from that phone call?
Well, obviously, it was just a quick phone call yesterday. Everybody had so much stuff going on, and I'm pretty sure, he's in Boston, so I'm pretty sure he's going to address the group. And like I said, we are here to fight till the end. We are not going to go away. We're going to keep battling until the last game and see where it takes us.
Welcome back to Sunday Skate. That was David Pastrnak talking after the Bruins 4-0 win over the Red Hot Tampa Bay Lightning Saturday afternoon. Bruins go into that game having lost 8 of 9, having just traded away 3 core players in Marchand, Coyle, and Carlo. Lightning had won 10 of 11, hottest team in the NHL, and the Bruins shut them out on home ice. The first time all season anyone had done that to Tampa. So Pastrnak, right, that they fought yesterday. They came out ready to go yesterday for sure. We'll see what it leads to, right? Like, this is obviously now a new look team, a team that on paper you look at and think, well, that team's, if they're going in any direction, they're going further down the standings, higher in the draft order.
Honestly, you look at it and it's like the lineup from yesterday, you look at it and you go, okay, they're going to get a really high draft pick this year, the way that this is built out, you know, the rest of the season. Meanwhile, they're only, what, 3 points out of a wild card spot?
Two. Now, they've played like 3 more games than everyone still, which is kind of crazy this late in the season.
But, like, it's crazy that it could still go either way. It's like, okay, well, they could actually legitimately make the playoffs somehow, some way. Like, if they're able to pull it together for just somehow. Or this team could absolutely just fall out, and it looks like there's a lot of Providence Bruins on this roster right now. So it's I feel like that's the direction it's going. They could end up drafting pretty high if the roster plays like the way that it's built, or, you know, the potential is
the way you would
lower.
Expect. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. No, you're going to be, you're certainly, you haven't been this high since, what, Charlie McAvoy, right? That's the last time you were top 15. They'll be top 15. Yeah. You're not going to be, I don't see a way you're going to be top 7 or 8. You might, if the ball's bounce the right way, get into the top 10, but it's at the backside of the 10.
Going into yesterday, they were 9th worst in points percentage.
Yeah.
So now they're back outside the top 10, but like they were already right there. So
yeah, so you get right around that number 10, which again, that'll produce, it should, it's not a good draft, of course. If anyone's paid attention to that, it isn't a good draft, but that being said, you're going to land on an NHL or a 10, might not be a superstar, but there's lots out there, and they get to they get to sharpen their pencils now too. That's the beauty for the draft guys is they haven't been able to be impactful. And people that say they haven't drafted well, it's not really hitting the mark for me. They've hit on like that. Beecher and Frederick are hits. If you want to look at the numbers and the stats of like 30th overall, they are hits. And I know not everyone wants to hear that. Everyone wants to talk about the one guy that they didn't pick at 30th that got picked at 42 that, oh my God, how did they, but the whole league missed him twice at 42. So please, it's hard to do it. So these guys get an opportunity to go to work and they do have to get something at 10 that will change. We'll move this team going forward.
Do you think Don Sweeney will get the chance to do this? Do you think he's here at that point in time?
Yeah, so he's, the draft he's day? Through. Yeah. Yes. 1,000,000%. You saw the statements yesterday. You don't get to do what you did this week and not have the confidence in June.
If it had been a quieter deadline, I'd maybe think, I wonder if that might be on the table. Maybe they're saving the big retool, the big moves for the offseason if you have a new GM coming in, but Rays is right. Like you can't, if you're ownership, like you don't let a lame duck GM have the day that Don Sweeney had on Friday.
You don't get to trade Brad Marsh.
Yeah.
I mean, just simple as that. You don't get to do that if you're going out if you don't think that guy has the vision for your team or you're giving him again, I'm not like this has nothing to do with this team. So I like, don't cut this or take it out of context, but you would never,
do that.
Yeah,
here.
Exactly. Yeah. Like I know I'm going to end up on some show tomorrow and it's like, oh, Raycroft said like it, but so I'm prefacing this in a big way. You would fire Sweeney before trading Brad Marchand to make sure that the team did it. And that's how that would work if it was actually going to happen.
So the reason I asked the question is because like both of you, I've gotten texts over the last few days since Marshawn got traded. I've gotten so many texts about, oh, definitely do not let Sweeney draft like with these picks. I'm done with Sweeney. I'm done. Like I get a lot of texts saying I'm done watching the Bruins. But certainly the consensus is
my mom called me on Friday and told me she was done watching the Bruins.
It's so good. I love the passion.
So people...
My kids are like beside themselves.
Are they? Were they like big Marshy fans?
Oh, yeah. My little guy, he wants a Panthers Marshy jersey for his birthday next month.
Oh, my goodness. Are you going to get him one?
I don't know yet. I think
can't be giving away.
Yeah. Presents, birthday secret. He's probably listening right now. Yeah. He's not at home listening to watching YouTube right now. He's listening to us.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
To the old fashioned radio over here. but I do think it's something that I'm glad we're talking about just because I think a lot of fans think he's gonna be gone. Like I think a lot of fans genuinely think this was the last thing he's doing, and then they're bringing someone else in to do the rest of it.
Well, I do wonder how long the leash is now. Like, so Razor referenced it, but Bruins put out statements from Charlie Jacobs, Cam Neely, and Don Sweeney on Saturday morning, and the most interesting one was the Charlie Jacobs statement where he says very clearly, I have full confidence in Cam, Don, and the management team. He has said that before. He said it at the Bruins Gala. I'm saying Gala, Bridget. I know
Gala.
We had a fight about this on our podcast.
It's definitely Gala.
It's Gala.
Thank you. didn't Brian say it a third way? I don't know.
There was a Gala, he said it then, and that was only, a few months ago, where he talked up Sweeney and his credentials and the job that he's done and sounded like someone who was very committed to him. But I do wonder how long the leash is. Like, is the expectation that this team is back on track and in a playoff spot next year? Like, is that the expectation? Or does Sweeney have multiple years now to retool? Like, are they looking at this more like 2015, 2016, where it wound up being 2 years out of the playoffs? Then, 2017, you get in, with a late push and knocked out in the first round, but, now you're on the right path. Like, that's what I wanted, and that's what we don't know. It's just, what is the expectation for what this retool or rebuild or whatever you want to call it looks like going forward. Because, as I said, I have my doubts about whether this can happen in 1 year. I think it's going to have to be at least two. But what is there? Have they been told, have they been sold that we can get back on track next year? And then if you don't, if next season you get off to a slow start and you're looking like you're not a playoff team again, like, is that it? So those are kind of the big questions that, like, right now we don't know the answer to. We probably won't get to talk to Charlie Jacobs until after the season when they do their end of year press conference. But, like, that's, you know, I would love to know that. Like, that's sort of the $1 million question.
That's fun speculation for going forward, for sure.
Do you want to take another one of our calls?
Yeah, sure.
Let's get these guys off the call.
Let's skip ahead a couple. Let's go to David in Brockton because he has a take on management specifically. What's up, David?
I'll tell you. This is, I think, and I'm going to say this, Don Sweeney is the worst general manager in the National Hockey League. And I don't understand how he can, you fired Peter Chiarelli because he mismanaged the cap, more or less. You're going to keep this guy for maybe another 2-3 years so he can screw it up again? I would say thank you very much, Don Sweeney. You're gone. Cam, you're gone. I want to bring in somebody that knows how to find talent, not only in the pro scouting, but also in free agent, but also in the draft. Because currently I have no confidence in this management team at all. None. I have no confidence in ownership at all. None.
All right. Thanks, David. So I don't like coming across as a Sweeney defender because, like, in my heart, I don't really think I am. Like, I think he's made a lot of mistakes. I also think he's done – the reason I think I come across that way is because – some of the takes on Sweeney, like that one, are so negative, where it's like, the worst GM in the NHL? Really? I mean, come on, guys. Like, have you looked around this league? Have you looked at how incompetently some of these teams are run? The reason the Bruins were in cap trouble the last couple of years is because they went all in 2023 on a team that had the greatest regular season in NHL history.
And one of the best NHL rosters you'll see.
But, like, now we're supposed to act like that was some big mistake that should get him fired because it messed up the cap for the next couple of years?
No, I'll take it because obviously I believe wholeheartedly. Like, it's the same thing as the culture question. It's like, you know, culture doesn't matter and Don Sweeney sucks. It's like, well, there can be some middle ground on all of this. And the reality is, Don, no one works harder in the league than Don. Nobody. The same with the drafting. Like, they have these pieces that they have that we just talked about that are untradeable are draft picks of the Boston Bruins. David, Charlie, Jeremy Swayman. Like, the most teams don't have, Florida Panthers don't have their own draft picks. They have everybody else's first round draft pick. Like, they've done a decent job drafting on top of it as well. And I will have debates with people on that. Don't go back to 2015 either. That does not count. But so to your point, like, you're right. He's not he just won Team Canada GM Four Nations. Like, he was that guy. You don't get that
job.
How
hard would that have been to do, though?
You don't get that job. How hard is it to get that job?
Oh, to get the job, yes. I thought you meant to win
with
Team Canada.
It's extremely hard to get that job, and you have to make hard decisions to leave guys off of the lineup.
Yeah, but that's decided by Hockey Canada and his peers.
Like, that's right.
There's no, like, lottery where they just pick a name out of it.
Correct. And anybody, like, the idea that he, you know, all we heard was, wow, I can't believe they fired Montgomery. Can't believe they fired Cassidy. They got picked up within 2 minutes Don Sweeney's getting picked up in 28 seconds because any organization would love to have that guy. So yeah, exactly. There's ways to criticize him, but to go all the way, you know, full nuclear on it is, you know, I will happily defend for you, and you can stay kind of a little bit more in the middle.
Yeah, because, I mean, look, like, there have been misses, and yes. Everyone starts at 2015. The year they drafted Earl Vakanainen, there were better players who went after. Like, if you wanted to call that a miss. But, by the way, they kept Vakanainen's value high enough that he was a chip in the Hampus Lindholm trade. So it's not like you got absolutely nothing there. Yeah, and then, yeah, Beecher and Frederick were late first. You know, would I have liked to have taken Alex DeBrincat over Trent Frederick? Sure, but, you know, you still got a productive NHLer. The Beecher draft stunk. Like, if you want to go back to that 2019 draft and look at the guys picked after, like, pick 12, that was just a straight-up bad draft. There just are not a lot of NHLers there.
Yeah.
Mason Lorai was a second-round pick. Matt Patra was a second-round pick. Like, those guys are breaking in and look like part of your future. Those are hits. In NHL terms, players who develop into NHL regulars in the second round, that's a hit. Like, whether they're stars, whether they're top-of-the-lineup guys, like, very much remains to be seen for both of those guys. But as second-round picks go, like, those were hits.
Yeah, it's now, not dire, right? Like, it's just like, it's not like dire.
Right, and yeah, the last summer, at least in year one, the Elias Lindholm and Nikita Zadorov signings look like misses. Like, looks like there's other ways they should have spent that money because they haven't. On Lindholm especially, I think Zadorov has been, honestly, like, for the most of the season, not that far off what people should have thought they were getting. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember when they signed him, people could go back and find old podcasts. I was like, yeah, he's like a 4-5. Like, that's how I viewed him. And I was like, that doesn't mean it's a bad signing, but, like, let's be realistic about what he is. He's not a top pairing guy who should be playing 23 minutes. So if people thought that's what they were getting, then yes, I understand the disappointment. I just don't know why you were expecting that.
Lindholm missed 65 games this year, right? Like, yeah. And that's left side.
Right. That's left shot guy.
That it would look different if he played those 65 more games. It just would for Zadorov, for Lowry, and for the Bruins. It really affected where everybody got slotted. But, you know, that's what happened. And you're right. Everybody's got to pull forward, but it's possible.
Okay, we do have to catch a break here. I see more calls on the line. There's more to get to here. I do want to get to what the Bruins got in return too, because we saw some of these guys play their first game on Saturday. You can give us a call, 617-779-7937. Text us at the same number. Jacob has you trending, and then we'll be back.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
All right, welcome back to Sunday Skate. Scott McLaughlin here with Andrew Razor Raycroft and Bridget Prue. Jacob behind the glass. Let's get right to George and Warwick on the phone lines. George has been holding for a long time. Thank you, George. What's on your mind?
Hey, thanks so much. Appreciate the show weekly. And, you know, maybe a little bit different question here or concern. Looking forward, guys, in my lifetime, born in the late 50s, there's always been an iconic defenseman that this team could be built around, from Orr to Park to Z.
Bork.
Bork. This Charlie McAvoy, early on in his career, he looked like he could be the next in that line of legacy defensemen. The last year or so, not so sure. Don't know if that's too much to put on him, but do we have a core player, an anchor player at each level, the goaltender, the defenseman, and the front line, to look forward and build around?
Thanks, George. So I would say, yes, there's absolutely the potential that you have those three pieces. We see Pastrnak, after a slow start to the year, playing like one of the four best players in the world since the start of December, basically. Jeremy Swayman's having a down year. I do think we saw last year in the playoffs he can be a legit number one goalie. He's got to get back to that level now, and you hope that a full offseason, a regular training camp without all the chaos of negotiations and sitting out and having to get his ice time in over at BU, like, you hope that gets him into a much better place to start next season. on McAvoy, which is who he was asking about specifically, look, this is a guy who has had two top five finishes in Norris Trophy voting already in his career. And they were deserved. Those were not mistakes. Like, he was one of the five best defensemen in the NHL those years. Yeah, there has been a little bit of a step back, and there's been injuries, which has been, unfortunately, the big one. Specifically, a couple shoulder injuries, including the one he's dealing with right now, suffered at Four Nations. In Four Nations, you saw someone who rose up and looked like one of the best defensemen in the world, going head-to-head with Connor McDavid and knocking him down and stopping him. Like, so that is still in Charlie McAvoy. It is hard to bring that for 82 regular season games. I do think it's likely at this point that you're not going to see him be one of the top offensive defensemen. I don't think he has that ceiling. But can he be one of the best defensive defensemen who contributes 50 to 60 points? Because that is still extremely valuable. And that is still a number one defenseman that you can build around. Absolutely.
Yeah, and be physical. I mean, when he was playing in Four Nations, obviously the injury comes at such a hard time. But if he had managed to get through that tournament without that injury, it felt like he was going to come out of it and be playing at a really high level for the Bruins if he was able to not sustain that shoulder injury. So I was sitting there watching Four Nations, very encouraged by what I saw with him. And unfortunately, it turned out that, you know, we don't know if we're even going to see him again this season. But, yeah, he has it in him. The attributes that you're describing, Scott, with the defense and physicality, he definitely has that. But I understand the question too, though, because I think there have been times in the season where he's been kind of quiet, whereas, you know, you'd want to see it more consistently.
They're anchored extremely well at all three places with those guys. Nobody's career is linear. Nobody's career goes straight up. You have waves. You have months where it doesn't go your way. It's just the way the game is, the way the margins are in the NHL. And I think David's the one where he's a superstar. You can, whether he has a bad start or a bad December or a bad March, you can set your watch to 80 to 100 points and 35 to 55 goals. I mean, that's he's that good. He's different than the other two guys that we mentioned. The other two are still learning, and especially Jeremy. He's going to take so much out of this season. He's going to become better because of it. It was his first year being a starter. There's a huge difference. It's a different league when you're that guy rather than what he's been prior. And Charlie's only 27 too, and he's still learning every year. And he learned over Four Nations and a really bad break to have an injury and have this go the way it has with the infection, etc. But there's still a lot of hope. I agree he's not going to be a Norris guy, because I think the Norris guy is going to have to be a 100-point guy at this point with Makar and Quinn Hughes not going anywhere for the next 15 years. He's just not going to challenge that. But that doesn't mean you can't win championships with a guy like that on the back end if he's complimented in the right way.
And by the way, if McAvoy gets back to the level we all think and know he can, where, again, he's elite defensive defenseman and 50 to 60 points offensively, then the people who think he's not playing up to the $9.5 million contract, that goes away. Then he's a steal at that.
Well, and the $9.5 is just going to continue to be less of an issue
because
this goes
forward. Legit number one defensemen are going to be getting 12 to 14 million in the next couple of years.
Yeah, starting this summer. Yeah. Like, we'll wait till Jacob Chychrun signs this year, and then you'll be like, oh, okay, that McAvoy deal looks real good.
Yeah, and I know you mentioned this earlier, Scott. Do you want to go through some of the returns? Like, what the Bruins actually got back for, as much as we've talked about the trade deadline, we spent a lot of it talking about the guys that left rather than some of the stuff that came in. And obviously some of this is, some of these guys are going to have impacts more immediately, and some of this is going to be long in the future, especially with some of these draft picks, 2027, the Marchand draft pick. So Did you want to go through it?
Sure.
I have it up, but if you'd like to,
you, yeah, I'll start with the so Brandon Carlo to Toronto for 2026 first round pick, Fraser Minton, who is one of their top forward prospects, and a 2025 fourth round pick. Charlie Coyle goes to Colorado along with a fifth round pick. You get Casey Mittelstadt, who we saw make his debut, Bruins debut Saturday. Will Zellers, an 18-year-old prospect who leads the USHL in goals right now and is heading to North Dakota next year, and a 2025 second-round pick. And then the smaller deals, Trent Frederick went to Edmonton, obviously, along with Max Jones. You got second-round pick, fourth-round pick, defense prospect Max Wanner. Justin Brazeau goes to Minnesota. Bruins get Jacob Lauko back. Marat Husnadinov, who also made his Bruins debut Saturday.
Who Pasta tried to pronounce, but said, we'll figure it out eventually.
Yeah, there seems to be some debate as to whether he's Kusi, Kuzi. Not entirely sure on the nickname yet. They also got a six-round pick in that deal. And then they traded a fourth-round pick to Buffalo for Henry Jokiharju, whose game I want to get into, because that felt like almost a nothing deal. You're like, okay, whatever. Well, he had a pretty darn good debut Saturday, so I'm kind of more interested now to see where this goes. And then there was one more minor deal. I think Dale Arnold had the details on this.
I guess, is it Scott McLaughlin you said was Mark McLaughlin.
He's going to New Jersey.
Yeah, I got traded to New Jersey. No.
All right, it was fun,
pack your
Scott.
Bags. See yeah, you, let the door you. Hit you on the way out.
No, so yeah, Billerica native Mark McLaughlin to New Jersey for.
It's easy to get you guys confused.
Young defenseman Daniil Meisiul, who I'm not even going to pretend I know anything about, quite frankly.
All right, boy. Played one game this year.
Yeah, but so the picks are the picks. They'll make them. We'll have time to talk about that in years to come. They might trade them. The players. Let's start with Casey Mittelstadt, because this is, he comes in, he's got 2 years left on his contract, and it's a real contract, $5.75 million. Someone who had shown a lot of promise in Buffalo, had 59 points 1 year, 57 points last season, and a season split between Buffalo and Colorado. Colorado traded for him with the idea that he was their second line center behind Nathan MacKinnon. There are times last year where that looked like he was going to be. This season, he got off to a really good start and then kind of completely fell off and has been having a bit of a down year. 34 points, I think?
Yes.
Yeah, 11 and 23.
Yep. So, was going to slide down to their third line when they went out and got Brock Nelson, but really that freed them up to move him for a third line center that they fits better with what they want to do, which was obviously Charlie Coyle. So now the Bruins get Mittelstadt. I think the idea is they're going to see if he can be their second line center. So what are they getting in Mittelstadt? He's 26, you know, so it's not like he has a ton of development left, but I think there is still a ceiling there where he's certainly better than a 34 point guy that he's been so far this season.
He should be, and that's the expectation. He has, and yeah, that's 26, still lots to learn in this league at that age. He's different than what they have. The obvious Lindholm Coyle overlap in their play, that was very evident this year, very evident the last 3-4 months that, again, moving Coyle to the wing, you know, explain that essentially Lindholm at this point is, and he's very good at it. He's very good to 200-foot game, very good defensively, but doesn't have the offense to carry the line as a first or a second line. And that's what Mittelstadt has the opportunity to be. He's not going to be a shutdown center for this team. He's not in the mold of all the other centers that we talk about so much and the way the Bruins play. Defensively, that will have to be coming from more of his wingers. But the idea, and Don talked about it and mentioned it more than once, is power play. They are not happy with the power play this year. They're concerned about the power play, obviously, and what they thought Lindholm could bring to the power play has not worked, so they needed to go to someone like this. And that's where Mittelstadt has a huge opportunity to really take advantage of that, because, of course, he wasn't on the first power play unit in Colorado and never will be or never would be. So here, that's his real upside, is he gets to be have a chance to take on that first power play, drive it from a forward perspective, and really contribute in that respect. He's an offensive guy. He's not a 200-foot guy. He's an offensive guy, and I'm interested to see that little bit of a different mentality from the Bruins from the center position, in recognizing that we might have to push a little bit more in that spot.
Yeah, this is his seventh full NHL season, or I guess he had some where he had some injuries, but like taking away the year that he only came in after college and played six games, like he's been in the league for a while. So he does have experience, and I'm not sure how familiar people in Boston really are with Casey Mittelstadt.
Probably not too much.
Probably not really.
You remember him a little from Buffalo, but.
But when you look at some of the years that he's had recently, he had almost 60 points the season 2022-23 season with Buffalo, and a majority of that comes from assists. Like 78% comes that season is assists rather than goals. He's, you know, which tells you a little bit about his game and him being a setup guy, but what I'm getting at is you have to fill in around him, because right now that second line is not going to be what it was against Tampa Bay with Koepke and Lehtari. Like, you need to fill in those holes next to him now.
Right. He's a playmaker, and he said that himself yesterday when he met with the media before the Tampa game, where he was kind of like asked to describe his style of play or whatever, and he said probably more of a passer than shooter. Knows he does have to shoot. But yeah, like that makes you think, like, okay, if you're going to get the most out of him, you need finishers on his wings, or at least one good finisher. Now, in theory, like, okay, you can put him on the top line and David Pastrnak's his finisher, but if you're really trying to maximize your lineup, like, you would love to have Mittelstadt as your second line center, driving that line, creating offense, and then having wings who can finish. So that's where, again, this team building of filling these clear holes that this roster has. Yeah, like, you're not going to get the most out of Casey Mittelstadt if he doesn't have wings who can bury chances. So where are you finding them? Like, okay, if you had re-signed Brad Marchand, he might have been one of them. Well, you didn't. So now there's someone else you have to find that probably isn't on this roster right now. So,
well, yeah, you have to. And Razor, you read the list a little bit earlier of some of the wingers that were available that are may be available as they're pending free agents.
Nikolai Ehlers.
There you go. Like, there's a shooter.
There's your left winger. There's your left wing guy. So there are guys that are going to be out there, but you're up again. And again, like, yeah, we can't. Again, I think what we do in evaluating Casey Mittelstadt for the next 15 games is not necessarily 5-on-5 with where the roster is constructed. It's power play, because this power play is essentially what it will be. And you know, let's see if he can. Again, it's just it's what it is a realization by Don Sweeney is, okay, we have too many guys that think 200 foot. We need a guy who thinks one way, and that's a big change for them, but that's the way the league's gone. That kind of goes to that culture piece where you just kind of look at it a little bit differently, and that's again what Mittelstadt does. They haven't had a center think this way, so like this much offense, probably in a real, well, I'm not going to say ever, but in a really long time. You know, because I still put Krejci. He was very underrated defensively, as offensive as he was.
Yeah. I mean, like, maybe Mark Savard, although, like, he also paid attention on defense.
Yeah, he's the best comp, yeah. Though. He's a playmaking center like Mark Savard.
Yeah.
So go find Nathan Horton and which, Milan Lucic.
By the way, we're not saying he's
going to
get to Savard level.
Like, thank you.
Let's not expect 90
again,
points.
That'll get used somewhere tomorrow, too. It's like, all right.
Okay.
Chop that out and put it on the internet.
All right. We got to catch our final break here, but still time to call, text in 617-779-7937. We'll be back with some final thoughts on the Bruins deadline and what we want to see the rest of this season, because there are still games to play. This isn't over yet. So we'll be right back to discuss. Welcome back to Sunday Skate, post-trade deadline edition. I'm Scott McLaughlin with Andrew Razor Raycroft and Bridget Prue. Let's quickly go to David in the car here on the phone lines. What's up, David?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. So, you know, Bruins definitely, I know there's a lot of mixed feelings about the trades and what, you know, Marchand getting traded. You know, we all love Marchand. We're grateful for what he's done for the team. But, you know, we got to understand as fans that they needed to do something. It is about time. After the disaster from a couple of years ago when they had an unbelievable season and they lost in the first round, that really did not set well at all. And I think, unfortunately, I think in my opinion, with Marchand, I know there's talk about like we didn't get much for him. But then again, he's 36 years old. He's pretty much done. We got to be realistic. And what I see is that if you hold on to a guy like that, you're hurting the team. It's like in business, you know, people get to a point, they've been there so long, they get complacent, they get very comfortable, and they're not doing above and beyond to make it better for themselves and for other folks as well. And I know sometimes it's hard to admit to that, but we have to be realistic. And I really think this was a good move.
Okay, thanks, David. Look, I think the deadline overall was good. Of the five players they sold off the active roster, I liked four of the trades. The Marchand is the one that's tough to swallow. And I would disagree with the idea that he's done. He's not done. He's not in his prime by any means. He's not what he was in 2018. But he was, before his injury, he was on pace for 63 points. Like, that's still a legit second-line wing in the NHL on any team. You know, when he gets into Florida's lineup, he's probably on the second line. Like, he's not third or fourth liner there. It's not Team Canada. Like, he's not done. Now, we could debate whether, again, like, if you wanted to go into the contract, do you give him 3 years? Yeah, you can debate if he'd be closer to done, you know, 39. Like, is he going to hold up for that? But in the moment, he's still a darn good NHL player.
Yeah, as of right now, he's still playing very well. Like, well enough, especially for, you know, he's also super fit, right? Like, he's also keeping himself in amazing shape. And, you know, he does the right things in order to have the longevity that he wants in his career.
And he'd had three surgeries this summer on purpose to be able to have a new body for those 3 years to continue to play to his 40s as well. Like, that was he probably only needed one of them to get through this season, but needed three of them to get through another few seasons. So that was calculated as well. But yeah, it's, you know, obviously he's still pretty effective.
Okay, so we touched on Mittelstadt last segment. I do want to touch on the other guys who we saw make Bruins debuts. Henry Jokiharju on defense. We know Jacob Lauko, so he played his first game back. We've seen him around here before. Fast, energetic, fourth liner. And Murat Husnadinov was the other one who made its debut, and he was playing on a line with Lauko and Elias Lindholm. Either of them stand out for you? Because to me, I was impressed by Jokiharju's game. I thought they put him on a pair with Zadorov, which was the same place Carlo had been playing. He had some good defensive plays to kill plays. He had seven shot attempts, second on the team behind only Pastrnak. So for a team that hasn't gotten much from its blue line offensively, especially with McAvoy and Lindholm out, like, it was good to see someone have a trigger back there and be ready and willing to shoot.
He's 25. That's the upside. He's not, he's different again than what they have. on the right side, especially. He doesn't play like Charlie McAvoy. He could pair up well with Nikita Zadorov if you're looking for it. He's not, again, similar to the Carlo situation. And it's different, right? They're two separate things, but he's like Mittelstadt to Coyle. This is Joki Haru to Carlo. It's different. They're very different, so they're thinking in a different way. It'll be interesting. He's at a 3.1 cap hit. This is a 1 year deal. Is this an opportunity for him? Do they have a vision to extend him, or is this a tryout? We want him in the building. I'm curious of all of those things, but he's a National Hockey League defenseman, and Buffalo has missed on a lot of these guys. They've kind of ruined these guys, and you hope that Boston found something here. But his underlying numbers are pretty good. His numbers are good. He's not a top pair guy, but it could be a guy that fits into your lineup with the right pieces.
Yeah, and he said yesterday that he requested a trade out of Buffalo. He said, you know, I thought I was going to get dealt. I wanted to get dealt. He was asked, did you request one? He said, yes. I think he felt like his play, his development, his career had just kind of stagnated there, where he wasn't.
Yeah, they have all those other first overall defensemen. Yeah. Not even just first round. They have first overall defensemen ahead of them. So, he not a lot to work there. And then, you know, so it's just an interesting little piece, a little deal at the deadline. And Fraser Minton's the big one. We should get to him before.
Yes, definitely.
So
that's, along with the first round pick, the big piece that the Bruins get from Toronto in the Brandon Carlo trade. Now, look, it's not like Toronto had, they're like the Bruins, right? Like, they've traded a lot of pieces away. So it's not like it's the best farm system in the world, but he was widely rated as one of their two best prospects, along with Easton Cowan. Center has played some wing. He has played 19 NHL games, so it's not like this is a guy who's 3-4 years away. Like, this is a guy who's been knocking on the door. So, yeah, Razor, like, what do you know about him?
Well, and then just the other thing that happens is Toronto Maple Leaf prospects always have a little bit more value or perceived value than all the other teams because of the spotlight that these guys get, especially Canadian guys, especially major junior guys like Easton Cowan and like Fraser Minton, the two top Leaf prospects that they thought they developed in a big way. Again, Canadian, world junior guys, these guys have been in the spotlight. This guy's been in the spotlight a long time. You mentioned his 19 games. He's big. He's strong. He's a Western League kid. So he's more of the power forward type, similar to a Charlie Coyle in body type, similar.
That was the comparison Don Sweeney made too.
Yeah.
Like, he brings some of those kind of attributes.
Correct. So
he's more than 10 years younger.
No, he's a young, he's Matty Potra's age. Him and Matty were, world juniors together. So, you know, he was, and is highly sought after, and I'm really curious how they deploy him the rest of this season. But we will be talking about this kid cracking the NHL lineup next year all summer, and he's something to get excited for all the people that love prospects and draft picks.
Yeah, maybe we'll get a chance to talk about someone besides Fabian Lysell and Georgi Mirkalov, which is like every week. So
yeah, and so. Fraser Minton is expected to start off in Providence. He was actually there when he got traded, but because of visa issues, he wasn't able to play this weekend. But yeah, I think the plan is to start him there. And you look at the numbers, and like, they don't blow you away. So, you know, 4 points in his 19 NHL games. Again, that's just like getting the kid a taste. 13 points in 26 AHL games this season. Doesn't jump off the page, but Razor, you've probably talked to more people about him than I have, but people think there's more offensive upside there, that there's more untapped potential that hasn't quite been reflected in some of the numbers.
So. Yeah, and how it kind of translates, he has NHL-type game. Because, again, in the juniors, he didn't do it either. Like, he's a point-per-game guy, which in major junior, like, the high end guys were almost, you know, two points a game, right? So he's a point per game guy in Major Junior, which again would have been high, a little bit higher than what Matty Patra. You kind of compare him to Patra, but bigger and stronger. Like you could do more of an NHL body. You could do that kind of comparison too. So, but the fact that he's a half a point guy as a 20-year-old in the minors is pretty good. He's not. He's only got 8 penalty minutes. Like he's not a bruiser. He's not Milan Lucic, but again, a real solid player that should translate to the NHL in a big way and be a guy that you can grow with. So.
All right, we will be back next Sunday, 9 a.m. Do it again. Thanks for listening.